Let's get ready to rumble.
Yes, we're back. It is episode 84 of the Hibs Ramble. I'm your host tonight, Liam. I'm joined by Sean. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Good. All the better for seeing you and Ryan.
Good. And how are you, Ryan?
I'm good. All the better for seeing Sean.
Cheers, mate. If there's any sort of issues with sound, we've had a couple of issues with sound the last couple of weeks, where Sean sounded like he'd been on a long delay and I was talking over him and stuff. So we're aware that it's happening. Hopefully it doesn't happen this week and it sounds all good. But if it does, then just fucking toughen up, deal with it, and yeah, just shut your face, basically. Listen, before we get going, I wanted to give a wee update on the ticket drive. We are a ball hair away from having raised £500 along with Long Bangers and Down the Slope. We actually managed to get a couple of people along to the Livy game at the weekend with the help of the Hibs Community Foundation, who kindly offered us a couple of tickets. We managed to get a couple of people along to that one, which... obviously, we won 3-0, so happy days. They might fancy coming back. but yeah, so 500 quid nearly. I think we're about £5 or £6 away from 500 quid. And we've got another football card to take to do this week. And it is a signed home shirt from the whole team, including Ryan, the January signings. I was trying to figure out what some of the signatures were, but it's quite difficult when they've not put their squad number on. But I know that it's got the January signings because I can see the number 20 and the number 15. So Marcondes and Amos have definitely signed it. But if you want to be the chance for winning that, it's a £10 donation into the GoFundMe, and then just message us with what team you would like. We've got 4 teams taken at the moment, so there's 16 left. So yeah, get involved if you'd like, and we'll get that winner scratched off as soon as the card is filled up. But on to other news. We've just seen that Jordan Abita has extended his deal until 2026, which has made me very, very horny. Sean, I said at the start of the season that he was going to be our player of the year. And I think a lot of people thought it was a wacky shout, but not looking as wacky anymore.
No, I might go back and try and find that clip, because I certainly don't remember you ever getting anything right, especially something as wild as that. But yeah, great shout. He's probably been one of our more consistent players with a few strong performances in there, more than a few strong performances in there. And yeah, listen, it's been hard to find someone that will stay in that position on a consistent basis for a very long period of time for Hibs. So it's good that he's been able to sign an extra year on top of what already had.
Yeah, of course. Ryan, is he a player that you've admired this season for his first time in Scotland?
Oh, absolutely. He's not the kind of player that I actually thought he was. I thought he was more of a winger and less of a defender, but I think he's been absolutely brilliant in that position. He's been really consistent, and I think he probably had not a hard act to follow, but it was always going to be difficult coming in and, you know, kind of off the back of Lewis Stevenson with his reputation and almost his legacy. But he's come in and he's really kind of made that position his this season, and he's added so much to us going forward as well as defensively. I think he's got a great engine. And he's certainly surprised.
Yeah, for sure. I think when he started his career, he actually was a winger. I think he started off at Reading, if I'm not mistaken, and he was a winger back in the day. But no, I think you see so many players coming up from England and thinking that it's going to be a doddle, and managers as well coming up from England and thinking that it's going to be a doddle. And but you know, I've never once kind of got that impression from Jordan Obita. He's given his all. I think he's been absolutely superb for Hibs since he joined. And no, Sean, please troll back and find what I said he was going to be player of the year, because I'm sure I did say it and I never get anything right. But what I wanted to mention was someone who gets everything right, and that seems to be Ryan Melville with his scoreline predictions before games, because that's another one that you've got right, Ryan. How do you do it?
Another one. I don't know. Do you know this? I don't even bet, but based off my track record with the score predictions at the Ramble, I should be. I just kind of seen it as Livingston being bottom of the league. Hibs obviously going to have some form of reaction off the back of midweek disappointment. But I'll admitly we would see the game out and kind of coast through, which is exactly what we did. We scored three early but good goals and kind of took the foot off the gas, rotated a bit, gave Jacob McIntyre his debut. So I kind of foreseen that kind of coming in a way, you know, where we would ease to victory without having to put ourselves out too much.
Absolutely. Yeah. But have you got the lottery numbers for the Euro Millions through the week?
I do, actually, but I can't share them right now for obvious reasons.
Gutted, mate, gutted. Well, you can message me them off air and maybe I'll win a couple of quid, because I never get any of the fucking predictions right. It's nippy as. Sean, 3-0 at the weekend against Livingston. I think we were all kind of hoping for a bounce back performance after an absolute sickener in Dingwall midweek. We lined up with, and now, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there was many changes. I think, was there two changes from midweek? Lafondre and Cadenin for Miller and Levitt. So we went with Marshall, Cadden, Fish, Bashiri, Abita, Nectar and Newell, Yuan, Marcondes and Malida in behind Lafondre. So that's what Google has got it down as a 4-2-3-1. It looked more like an inverted triangle 4-3-3 to me. But were you happy to see us finally lining up with a striker, mate?
Yes, and I was very, very happy that it was Alfie as well. I think it's always good when a manager can maybe learn from his mistakes, and I feel like during the week it was a mistake not to at least start with a striker through the middle, or at least with Alfie in particular. So I feel like during the week and the Livy game, those are the types of games where we want to play someone that's as intelligent as him, where you don't maybe need as much space, but if you've got the game intelligence, it works out really well for you. And you know, we've seen that at the weekend. So very, very strong performance from Alf, and deserving of that kind of performance as well.
For sure. Ryan, he's one of these players that he's come in, although he's 37, you know, his game intelligence is second to none, and it really showed with the build-up and the goals at the weekend.
Yeah, I think he's probably a player we missed massively when he was out injured for the reasons that you've said. But I mean, highlighting his movement, he's unbelievable off the ball, just to get half a yard, and he's, for a guy of his age, you wouldn't think he is 37. He keeps himself in good shape, despite just coming back from an injury. But yeah, he's a player that's really important to us when he does play. I think he's so creative, and he does all his best to make space for players around about him as well, in a very unselfish way. So I think he played really, really well at the weekend and probably deserved to be man of the match.
Out of contract in the summer, though, we'd hopefully be looking to extend that after the Obita news. Obviously, we're not we're not shy in extending contracts of players that we've just signed in the summer. So hopefully, Ryan, that we can get them on a little bit of a longer term deal.
No, you would hope so. You would hope so, given the evidence we've got. Like I say, he gets unlucky with the injury, but all the games he's played in, he's had an impact one way or the other. I mean, he might not have the best numbers, but it doesn't mean he's not making an impact. And just having that older, wiser head around, obviously, whilst this team's still transitioning, would be beneficial to everybody. And he's probably really easy to coach as well. So he's on side with Nick Montgomery, which is great for the dressing room and for him.
Yeah, Sean, I would imagine that he would bring, you know, an absolute wealth of experience, given he's, you know, he's played in various different leagues and various different continents, and you'd think that he would be such a key player to learn off if you're like a Josh O'Connor or, you know, one of the younger players coming up, and you know, you're seeing the professionalism of him, the way that he keeps himself in shape at 37. Just imagine if we'd have got him 5 years sooner, the impact that he's made at 37. If we'd have got him at 32, 33, geezy peeps. But how much do you love Alfie?
Yeah, no, I've got a lot of time for him. I think he's really, really good as well. And it's not just the younger players, like the youth players that you mentioned. The players that are already in the starting 11, I'll be learning fortunes off him. And it's priceless having someone like that in and around the changing room. You know, even the quality players that we brought in the January window, they'll be learning off of him as well. Like, in football, you want to have a good balance of people in their prime, but people with good experienced heads. Unfortunately, I don't want to admit it, but the structure that Lee Johnson was wanting in regards to like your brackets of younger players, hot prospects, so to speak, first team starters, and then like your people that are over like 32, that kind of, I think it was like a 4-8-8-4 or something like that, that he was wanting to try and get us to have at the club. I think that is probably a model that isn't too far from what you want from a winning formula.
100%.
And I think even, like I said, all the other players that are in the squad, whether it be LUI, Martin Boyle and things like that as well, they'll be learning bucket loads off Alf.
I think you've hit the nail absolutely on the head there. He's definitely one of these players that we've been missing for the last few years, the experience and the, you know, the know-how that he brings. And I mentioned it earlier, his game smartness, his game intelligence is second to none, honestly. And you could tell that at the first goal. Ryan, the first goal, well, I mean, to be fair, all three goals, to me, kind of encapsulated what probably we're going to expect to see from a Nick Montgomery side when he gets a full pre-season, a full summer window behind him. Kind of that tiki-taka style, moving through the gears, you know, kind of slow-ish build-up, but, you know, picking our moments and being penetrative when possible. It was really, really good to watch.
Yeah, and I mean, you can see the reason why he wants to try and implement that long-term. It's both enjoyable to watch and it's also very effective when it's done properly. And I think he's probably more able to do it now than he was pre-January window. The level of players that we brought in who add to what we already had shows the difference from the window. I think when Triantis was playing whole midfield on Saturday, he was brilliant again. Moving through to Marcondes and Mailuda, who all had a big impact on the game. So we can see now the starts or the fruits of the labour that he's put in. And it's great as a fan to watch football like that. I mean, is there many teams in the country that would play the way that we did at the weekend? Probably not. So it makes us different, but it also makes us effective. So I really enjoyed it. All the goals were brilliant.
I mean, for me, Sean, the goals were kind of carbon copies of each other. There were three really, really good goals. But listen, the football that we played leading up to them, and even the, you know, I don't think we made an awful lot of chances other than those three goals in the first half. But I mean, you're not devastated at that because we got three goals. But the football for the goals, just talk me through it. How much did you love it?
Yeah, there used to be a house manager. Some players didn't take to him. Some fans didn't take to him. But he had a phrase that rings true to those two goals, maybe even the three goals.
I would say all three were very, very similar, to be honest.
Yeah, regarding the passing, the moving, the tempo, so to say. And those goals epitify that, and it's really, really good to see that the Monty ball kind of come into fruition. Really, really enjoyed them. Listen, when you come up against a side that's near the bottom of the league, we were very, very low in confidence as well, albeit they put in a relatively good performance away at Celtic Park. They're clearly not at the races. So I think it was a coming together of a team that's not at the races and a team that are close to finding their feet together. We're consistently seeing a lot of those players in our starting 11 play together for a long periods of time, and very minimal changes be made to the starting 11. And with a lot of those goals, the Livy players didn't know what had hit them. Do you know what I mean? They would turn one way and then have to turn the other because they've maybe made a rash judgment in regards to where the ball's going to go, and then it's went another way, quick one-twos, quick pass in, and next thing you know that we're in their box and we're either cutting it back or we're crossing the ball in or taking a shot. So it just seemed like the Livy players were 2, 3, 4 yards off it all the time, and we were 2, 3, 4 passes ahead in every instance as well.
Definitely. Like you said, it was so enjoyable to watch. It's probably the most I've enjoyed an attacking Hibs performance, you know, since those John Collins and Tony Mowbray days. It's been a long time coming, you know, and I think we've said on the pod for a few weeks now, like, we are starting to click. Someone was due a doing, but that, for me, Ryan, was a doing without us really having to get out of second gear.
Yeah, we scored our goals early. We got them all done and dusted in the first half, which doesn't happen a lot with Hibs, actually. I had it written down somewhere. How many goals in the first? We scored something like 12 goals in the first half all season, I think. Is that right?
If you've got it written down, then probably
is. I didn't write it down, but I thought I did. Anyway, which is a small number, considering the amount of goals we probably scored over the season. So we kind of got our business done nice and early so we could take the foot off the gas, which from a Hibs fan point of view is probably not great. You want to see a team go and get a doing. But equally, for the guys on the pitch, if it's comfortable and they don't need to exert themselves, that's probably better going forward in terms of their body output and how much energy they're using. But definitely from the stand, you want to see a team can get a beating, a severe beating, you know, like a statement victory almost going into these kind of last three games before the split. Give you a wee bit more confidence as well going away to Rangers after the international break. It didn't materialise. It was just like a training exercise in the second half, unfortunately, from a fan's point of view.
Yeah, but I mean, I think... you know, going into the international break, you probably wouldn't have grumbled at a 3-0 victory. You know, especially after the 2-2 in Dingwall on Wednesday night. But listen, I think I said it before, we're a team that's we're really, really starting to click. Ellie Yuan again providing some more assists. That's 10 goals and 10 assists for him this season, which is... It's really, really impressive. A lot of people are starting to write him off a little bit and get a little bit frustrated with him. And I understand he can be a frustrating player at times, but wow, Sean, he is not half effective when it comes to the final third.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it so frustrating, that he's went through a spell this season where he couldn't get in the team. And when he was in the team, he was very ineffective. And even some of the performances where he's been very ineffective, he's popped up with 2 goals, or he's popped up with 2 assists. So it just goes to show that, you know, he's got real, real quality, and there's no one that's doubting his ability or doubting his quality. What frustrates us as fans with a player like that is he can kind of come across as like a bit of a luxury player. And sometimes, if he's not on it, bring more negatives than positives. But listen, 10 goals and 10 assists this season. First player to do that since Stevie Mallon was at the club. And Ellie's not on set pieces or anything like that. So I don't know how far back you'd have to go before Stevie Mallon to even get the next player. He's a very, very talented player. He's a very, very frustrating player. But listen, if he's frustrating the fans, then he's going to be frustrating the opposition players. And they're going to be frightened to come up against him because of his... how unpredictable he is.
The biggest frustration probably comes from...
If we can see it more on a performance, like more on a consistent basis, then he'll not be at Hibs long.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say that the frustration comes from, you know how good he is and how good he can be. And when he's on it, he's really, really on it. And he can turn defenders inside out. But the frustration, Ryan, is sometimes he tries to beat the defender 2, 3, 4 times and then ends up passing the ball backwards and... You know, we lose all the momentum, but on the whole, I think he's a very, very important player that we've got.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think if you look at his numbers, he probably proves how important he's been to us over the course of the season and as far back into last season. But Sean's right, there's obviously negatives to his game as well. And the task for him now is to try and find a balance between the the pros and the cons within him as a player to find consistency on a kind of on ground, because I mean we'd all love to see him do it more often and more regular and more consistently. And equally, if he did that, he probably wouldn't be at Hibs for very long, but we would have gained or reaped the rewards of that in the process. You know, if he starts to hit real top form and scores 20 goals and gets 15 assists, but he's gone, we've still had a great player for another season.
Yeah, and we've got the numbers on the board, the goals and the assists.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's the main thing, really. Yeah, so he set up Mizian's goal and Adam Lafondra's goal. The Mizian goal was very, very pleasing. I know we've kind of talked in brief about the goals, but the off the ball work from Adam Lafondra and the way that he creates his space for Eli Yuan to slide through there and get the ball across for Mizian, which I think it's a really, really good cutback and an even better finish, to be honest, because there's plenty of times, Sean, that we've seen, you know, either the cutback go wrong and it ends up in the goalie's grasp or misses everyone, but Yuan does so well to pick out Mizian, and then we've seen players lash at those, we've seen players hit freshies at those, but Mizian picks his spot and sticks it right in the back of the net.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying, it just kind of shows the level of quality that those two players have. What's been frustrating me for a number of weeks now is the amount of crosses, especially in the Rangers game the other week, the amount of crosses that don't make it past the first man, whether it be cutbacks or crosses from deep at the edge of the box as well. It just seemed, especially in recent weeks, that every single cross we hit doesn't get past the first man. And that's a mixture of poor execution and lack of composure as well. It's got nothing to do with lack of ability, because the boys that are in the wider areas, especially in recent weeks, have got real, real ability. You know, especially when you look at Chris Cadden and some of the balls he can put in, Jordan Obito on one side. And then, you know, when you, prior to obviously Martin Boyle's injury, Martin Boyle, Eli Yuan, and things like that as well. So real, real piece of composure from Eli Yuan, which in recent weeks, he maybe wouldn't have done that. There seems to be a real connection between the two of them as well, which is good. And like we've alluded to already, like when you've got good quality players around you, it's going to bring other players up to those standards. We spoke about it with Alf. It's the same way Maluda as well. When you've got players of real, real quality, naturally you just improve as a player because of the demands that they set on their teammates.
Absolutely. I mean, you've hit the nail right in the head. You come up with the most sensible things, Sean, honestly. I don't know where you get it from. Certainly not me. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, the goals are brilliant. It's the game smartness and stuff. But, listen, there wasn't really an awful lot in the second half of note, apart from Jojo Wallacott coming on at halftime, which I thought was a little bit odd. I've not seen anything that's kind of highlighted that that Marshall maybe picked up an injury or a knock or anything. So I don't know what's going on there. And then obviously, like Ryan mentioned earlier on, or Sean, I can't remember what one it was, that Jacob McIntyre got his debut and got some minutes. And he looked like he could do a job in the middle of the park. I thought he was a fullback, though. Or is that his brother that's a fullback?
Aye, Oscar McIntyre's a fullback, yeah. Which is his brother. The only thing I heard about Marshall was from Nick Montgomery in post-match press conference. He said that Marshall had a stiff neck maybe leading up to the game. So as a precaution, they decided to take him off. So I think we were in a position where it was okay to do so. So make them that what you will.
Sean, Jojo Wallacott came on, of course, against Aberdeen at Pittodrie and did really well, kept a clean sheet. I mean, obviously, it finished 2-2, but he didn't let in any goals. And again, on Saturday, I think he was tested a couple of times and he managed to stand up to it all. And maybe looking like he will be a replacement for Marshall when he decides to hang the gloves up after all.
Yeah, there might have been some thinking behind it like that, as well as obviously resting Marshall, like Ryan alluded to already. Game was gone. 3 points were in the bag, barring a proper old-fashioned Hibs-it performance. we would have been all right. So, listen, it was a strange sub. because you're changing your goalkeeper at half time. Like, it just goes back to what Ryan's point was about it being a training match. That's the type of things you see in friendlies. But because of who we were playing, and because of the scoreline, and because of the level of performance, and not getting out of second gear, whether it was an injury or not, and I'm not doubting Ryan, it certainly would have been if it came from Nick Montgomery. But even if Marshall wasn't injured, it wouldn't have really surprised me. We're 3-0 up. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is a boy that we paid money for in the summer, albeit it wasn't a Nick Montgomery signing. Let's get him on the pitch as much as we can. And from a goalkeeping perspective, Marshall wasn't really troubled at all in the first half. So, you know, why not? Do you know what I mean? It gives him some more minutes on the pitch, gives him a little bit more confidence. He was busier than Marshall, because naturally, as the game went on, there was more and more of a drop-off from the players. But we didn't concede, and he made a good couple of saves.
Yeah, it's a difficult position, really, to come in and sort of prove your worth, you know, when you've got a solid number one. So, you know, fair play to Nick Montgomery for actually giving him the chance. And then, you know, Jojo's got to, he's got to play well when he gets the chance. And, you know, I think that, you know, coupled with his performance at Pittodrie and his performance on Saturday, I thought, you know, there's definitely a goalie in there. So hopefully we get to see a wee bit more of it towards the end of the season. Maybe if, you know, the European spots are cemented with a couple of games to go, you might see him with, you know, in the last couple of games post-split. So, listen, you never know. Talking about the split, though, we'll move on from the Livi game there. I want to touch on other results, and one that was an absolutely mental game. That I don't know if you've watched Sports Scene or the highlights or that, but the Killy Saints game. I was keeping an eye on it on my phone throughout the game on Saturday, and at first I was like, oh, Jesus, here we go. It's 2-0 St Mirren. This is going to be, they'll pull away now in fourth, and we'll have absolutely no chance of catching them. The game wears on, 2-1, 2-2, and then it ends up 5-2 to Killy, Ryan. A draw would have been my ideal result in that game, but a Killy win isn't a disaster, but that's a mental scoreline.
To be fair, it's not very often that you see scorelines like that in Scottish football that don't involve the Old Firm. So I suppose it was something different anyway. But I suppose you're right. There was a couple of scorelines I didn't expect, but that was the one that probably we had half an eye on. I think, listen, we're still 4 points behind St Mirren and then 6 behind Killy. So you just never know what's going to happen in these next 5-8 games. You know, you can never tell, and we've still got to play them as well. Obviously, if we finish in the top six, fingers crossed we do, we've still got to play both of them. So, I mean, there's definitely points to be had there. We can catch up, they can drop points, but that'll have done us a wee bit of a favour in terms of trying to catch St Mirren.
Of course, and Sean, it's one of these, I've said it a couple of times on the pod, that I felt that we were kind of clicking at the right time, but Saints and Killy, with all due respect to them, they're not used to being in this position this late in the season. Chances are they probably will fall off the wagon at some point. Hopefully, that's the start of St Mirren falling off the wagon, and it'll be a little bit easier to catch them.
Yeah, sorry, you cut off towards the end there a wee bit. I think, listen, both of them have to play Hearts before the split. I know we play Rangers, which is obviously a very, very tough fixture anyway. St Mirren play Hearts and Celtic before the split. So you're hoping that, I think their other game is against, let me just quickly check, Motherwell away. So again, they have three on paper tough fixtures. I know we need to go away to Motherwell, which again, is still a tough fixture, but Killy need to go away to Hearts. Killy have been very, very poor away from home this season. They've got Ross County at home, albeit Ross County have picked up a wee bit. So they, you know, that could still be a tough game. And then Killy have got St Johnstone away, and St Johnstone again, probably one of those who are coming back into that relegation mix. So they're under a bit of pressure as well. Whereas obviously we've got Motherwell away, St Johnstone at home, and Rangers. So you're hoping that we can get 6 points of that. You're looking at maybe St Mirren maybe picking up a point, if not none, out of their games. And then you've got St Johnstone, who could, not St Johnstone, sorry, Killy, who could maybe pick up three or four. So going into the split before we all play each other, it is going to be really, really close. And then obviously when we go into the split, not only have we got to play them, but they've all got to play the Old Firm. They've all got to play Hearts, and they've all got to play each other. So, listen, I still don't think that we'll get fourth, but we're certainly in the mix, and weirder things have happened, i.e. Aberdeen last season going from 10th to scooshing third. So
it's certainly not out with the realms of possibility. And yeah, just like you said there earlier on, Ryan, where we are 2 points clear of Dundee, who've got a game in hand. Obviously, their game against Rangers was postponed at the weekend for reasons unknown, pending investigation. We're 6 points clear of Motherwell, and I think we're 8 points clear of Aberdeen. I don't think we're going to need... I mean, clip this, Aberdeen fans, for when you inevitably... But I don't think we're going to need to worry about Aberdeen now. I think
It's not just the fact of the points tally we're on. You've also got to consider the form of Aberdeen. I mean, they've just really not got going this season. So I don't suppose you can guarantee on them getting any points, but in the same token, they might get maximum points in the next three games. It's hard to tell with Aberdeen. Yeah. But I don't think that they've been in the kind of form this season where they've hit a patch and got consecutive wins, 3-4 in a row. So I think they would be out the equation for me. And then below that, you've not got much quality, to be honest. I'm surprised St Johnson. I'm surprised they've got as many points as they have. Craig Levine obviously coming in, fixed a couple of wrongs, but again, they've been found out a little bit. So I would say from Motherwell down, we don't need to worry about anybody.
I don't think so. Like we said, obviously we've got 6 points to make up to get to fourth, but you know, stranger things have definitely happened. You know, you wouldn't put it past Aberdeen. They maybe put a couple of wins together and get themselves in that mix. But at the time of recording, at 24 minutes past six on the 19th of March, I'm going to put it out there. I don't think we need to worry about Aberdeen at all. Motherwell, maybe 6 points clear of them. They're one of these teams who can kind of pick up a result here and there, and they kind of slowly drift up the table without anyone really noticing. Kettlewell obviously had a bit of a poor spell in the season. They went something like, well, however many, like 15, 16 games or something without a win. And recently they've managed to put a couple of results together that have put them into the mix for top six. So I think, Sean, for a neutral looking at it, obviously you're not a neutral, but it's a very, very exciting end to the pre-split.
Yeah, Dundee are probably still with it. Well, they are definitely still within a good shout. If we maybe fall off a little bit with the fixtures that they've got, other than the Rangers one, of course. But yeah, it will make for an exciting run-in pre-split. But of course, absolutely none of the games that have anything on them will be on Sky.
No, absolutely. And so that is why we definitely do not advocate. Because it's highly illegal. And I mean, I don't know anyone who does, dodgy fire sticks, but, you know, to watch the games in the run, if you're not going, then maybe get yourself a dodgy fire stick. I wouldn't know where to get one.
I don't know what that is. I'm only aware of normal fire sticks.
Yeah. So. I mean, I wouldn't know where to get one.
I don't know loads of people that haven't got one.
What?
I don't know loads of people that haven't got one.
I have to think about that one there. But yeah, no, listen, I think it's definitely going to be a very, very interesting running. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of part we play in it. But yeah, it's going to be exciting, that's for sure. And it's maybe a little bit of a better advert for the game than we've had in the last few years anyway. So exciting times. Something else that is exciting. It's week two of Who's That Heavy? Okay, so this week we're doing a little bit different for Who's That Heavy. Last week we had a guess a player by the career path, whereas this week we're doing a Who's That High Be, and I've got four players. I've got five clues on each player. And you just need to guess what player I'm talking about. If you guess the player on the first clue, you get 5 points. Second clue, you get 4 points. Third, 3 points. Fourth, 2 points. Fifth, 1 point. And as the clues go on, they get progressively a little bit more revealing about the player. So, like last week, you buzz in by shouting your name. And if you get the answer wrong, you're not frozen out this week. You're just, you don't get to answer until the next clue. So, effectively, you're missing a point off. Does everyone understand?
Yes, and I heard you this time where you say you need to call out your name, not the player.
I'm glad. Right, okay. Are we ready for the first player? So, clue number one. I was born on the 29th of July, 1993.
I will not be guessing at this stage. The 26th. Did you say the 26th of July? 93. You're a bit younger than me. Interesting.
You know, fancying a guess, Ryan?
No. He's younger than me, like...
Clue number two. I have played on two continents.
No, I will not be guessing at this stage.
Ryan, no fancy it?
Nah, that'd be a stab in the dark.
Clue number three.
Could be a few.
I have 32 senior appearances and 11 senior goals for my national team.
Jamie McLaren.
Yeah, boy. That's 3 points for Ryan. Well done. Don't have to have that one in the bag, to be honest.
I probably should know it for the birthday.
Exactly. And the next two clues were, number four was my first Hibs goal was at Ibrox, and number five was I had two loan spells back-to-back at Hibs. So you would have got them from that. But well done, Ryan. 3 points on the board. Next player. Clue number one. I've played under Jose Mourinho and Brendan Rodgers.
Okay.
Clue number two. I have represented my birth country at the Olympics, but played for a different national team.
Fucking hell. Nah, I'm not getting that.
Number three. I am 6'6".
Sorry, you're going to have to repeat that. I didn't hear you cut out. What did you say?
Right, before I get your answer, Ryan, I'll let Sean hear the clue again. Clue number three, I am 6'6".
Michael Lambert. Yeah!
That's another 3 points for Ryan.
Who did he represent at the Olympics?
He represented Belgium at the Olympics, but played for Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo.
Didn't know he represented Belgium. I just thought he was Congo. When did he play under Brendan Rodgers? Like in the youth team or something?
He played at Chelsea under Mourinho. After he left Hibs, he signed for Swansea, and that's when Brendan Rodgers was their man.
Oh, really? Fair.
So the other two clues were, number four, I kept a clean sheet on my debut against Hearts, and number five, I wore the number 50 for Hibs.
Right, you've got it, Sean.
Wait now.
Has he got a McAlambi shirt?
He must have.
There he is.
Oh, that's a belter, man.
Wait now, right? Watch, I'll put it on. It is a size 58 to 60.
Jesus Christ.
Is it going to be like a nightgown on him, eh?
Oh, my God. Wow.
What size are you, man?
Covers the whole bloody camera.
That's incredible.
Guys are unit.
What a guy.
Sean, you used to
be able to pick up the ball with one hand. Madness.
Do you know why he wore shirts that big?
Why?
He used to come into my family's petrol station, so I used to see him all the time when I used to work there, and I asked him whether it was true or not, whether it was broken English, I don't know. So he used to ask for the biggest size possible, so when he would spread, he would look even bigger. So when he's making bigger shots, because he's wearing yellow, like a yellow shirt, it's a lot bigger than. Aye.
Something in that, Sean. There's something in that.
We'll maybe get in touch with him and find out.
Try and get him on the pod.
Aye. okay, next player. Sean, you've got to kind of try and redeem yourself here. Oh.
Well, he can't redeem himself. He's not here, boys. Eh? He's conceding the victory.
Aye, that's going to be my contribution to the game. That's going to be it.
Right, next player, you ready? Clue number one. I only scored one professional goal in my career. No clues?
I'm never getting that.
Number two, Hibs are the only British team that I've played for.
Well, I'm not getting that either. Can we just go back to career path? I was flying at that.
number three, I joined Hibs in January 2008.
Who is that under? Who's the manager in 2008?
I think it was Mixu.
Mixu.
One career goal as well.
Yeah, but it wasn't at Hibs.
All right, okay.
Clue number four. I left Hibs as my wife and child were rejected visas.
It's not the player I think, but this couldn't have happened to any other Hibs player. So I'm going to guess, right? No, I'm not going to guess. No, 100% no, it's not this player because he was there the year before and he won the trophy. So he didn't sign in 2008. Did he play for Hibs?
Well, that's in the next clue. Ryan, have you got a guess? I can't believe I've stumped you with this. So the next clue is, I was David Murphy's successor, yet only played 7 league games.
I'm stumped with this.
Nah,
stumped.
John, have you not even got... Because see, if you don't guess here and get it right... Then Ryan's won and we're playing for pride in the next quiz.
Aye, it's fine. I've already conceded defeat here.
It's Abderrouf Zarabi.
Oh. Right, okay.
I remember him. Remember we had David Murphy and he was one of the best left backs we'd ever seen. And Abderrouf Zarabi came in the season after and he was fucking shite. He had the thing I remember about Zarabi, the biggest thing was in 2008, how old would I have been? I would have been 10, 11. And I used to like going down to the front and getting the players' autographs. The thing I remember the most about Zarabi is that on his ankle tape, it had Zarabi written across it on the front. And I was like, he must be a player, eh? If he's got his own fucking name on his ankle tape.
But I only remember him for the song the song that was sung at Tynecastle, so...
What one was that?
I'm not singing that on this podcast.
I don't think I remember it though. So can you tell me off air?
Times have changed, so the song would most certainly not get sung nowadays. And how it got sung at the time, I don't know.
Well, if anyone knows the song, then probably keep it to yourself. Okay, next player, Sean. I'm really hoping that you get some kind of salvation in this one. Clue number one. I've played in the top flight of 3 different countries.
Next.
Clue number two. I'm in Preston North End's team of the decade between 2010 and 2019.
Oh, I feel like I know this.
But should know it, eh?
Team Any guesses?
Nah, not at this stage. No, I feel like I feel like I know it though, but I'm just.
Clue number three. I went to the 2012 and 2016 Euros with my nation.
Oh, that's not what I thought then.
I don't know how many games he played, but he was in the squad.
2012 and 2016?
Mm-hmm.
Well, can you say clue one again, sorry?
Clue one was I played in the top flight of three different countries.
Fuck it, I'll guess. I need to either chuck myself and throw myself in here. Is it Aidan McGeady?
It is!
Yeah. Oh, some shout. I was thinking further back.
That earned you a massive 3 points, Sean. So the other two clues were, clue number four was I played with and against Stephen Naismith. And clue number five was I'm best known for wearing the number 46.
Where was he at when he played with
Everton.
Stephen Naismith? Everton.
So, Ryan, you've clawed it back. I don't know if we're going to do weekly scores, but you've won this week's one. With a score of 6-3. Fairly embarrassing that none of you got Abderif Zarabi, to be quite honest with you. But no. Well done, Ryan, mate.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much.
So I'd just like to thank absolutely nobody.
Amazing. No words of consolation for Sean?
You'll win next week, so there's no point.
Fair enough, mate. Fair enough. And that wraps up this week's Who's That High Be? So we will move on to our questions for this week.
Now it's time to answer the Hibs Ramble listener questions.
First of all, we've got John, as always, and he says, dinner, please. Thanks.
Had a Thai style chicken and rice with coriander through it. It sounded like it was going to be great, and it was pictured like it was going to be great, and it was absolutely rotten. So, won't be making that again.
Honestly, we say it every week, grass is green, water's wet, and Sean has an Asian inspired dinner with chicken and starch.
They do sound great, to be fair. I'm just roast chicken dinner the night for me, vegetables, potatoes, bit of gravy.
How was your lasagna the other week that your sister made?
The one my sister made, honest, it's unbelievable. I don't know where she got the recipe from. Didn't even know she would cook. But it's like the best lasagna I've had, like amazing.
Sounds good to me. I'm having a oven pizza.
Why no, eh? Why no?
We've not got the kids tonight, they're at they're staying at their nannies, so an oven pizza and a few beers for me, and probably an early night. Happy days, happy days. next up, John Tolmey says, what do you rate a Toby Carvery out of 10?
Value for money is probably about an 8. Quality of product is probably about a 3.
Well, do you think so? I think, it just depends, doesn't it? When, like, how long the meat has been sitting out under the heat lamp for, because sometimes it can just get well dry. But if you go in at the right time and you get it when it's like fresh.
Ah, you're hitting higher numbers then, aye.
I tell you what,
I was going to go in with a strong 6 as my rating, but upon reflection with the fantastic points that you have made, I'll probably go a solid 4.
I quite like a Toby Carvery though, you know. I mean, Carvery's yes are a hit or a miss, but see if you get a good one. It's pushing 8.2, 8.3.
That's huge.
Absolutely.
That's huge. The breakfasts are superb. I mean, you can't really go that wrong with a buffet breakfast, but they've got like tatty scones and black pudding in that in their buffet breakfast. And Ken, the big Yorkshire puddings that they do. See, at breakfast time, they do them, but they put bacon bits through it, eh? Oh, Lord.
Ooh.
It's, and I sound like a big fat pig, but it's because there's a Toby Carvery just 2 minutes up the road for me. So sometimes we'll nip in for breakfast if time allows. So I hope that answers your question, John. I'm saying 8, Sean 4. Ryan, were you going to be a 6 or something there?
I will go a 6.
Keith Robertson says, an excellent first half, a decent second half. Thought Mizzian could have been subbed a little later. Nice to see Wallacott get 45 minutes. Would have liked another goal. Credit to Monty and the team for seeing out the game. Can't believe Hibs got no cards in a game involving Nick Walsh. And I tell you what, we've got to nearly an hour recording tonight. We've not mentioned VAR. Mm-hmm. We've not mentioned officials. So maybe there's not a conspiracy against us.
They're trying to even it out against nobody's, like Livingston. Give us points that were normally guaranteed against Livy or should be guaranteed. So just you wait. Something will go wrong at Ibrox if it's going the way of the blue side of Glasgow. We've got Motherwell away. I can see a dodgy penalty being given. And then St Johnstone at home, maybe we have a wee red card. Or there's still time. And then we've got, obviously, the post-split. So we'll see.
Yeah, and Crawford Allen stepping down as well, so maybe we'll see the level decisions get a little bit.
Can I just point out an interesting stat from Saturday? So Hibs committed 13 fouls, Livingston committed 16. They got 6 yellow cards and we got none. So for a difference of 3 fouls, there's 6 yellow cards in there. Now I know all fouls are contextual and different, but that's usually our argument against Celtic and Rangers. So is this how they feel every week, playing against teams that are obviously bigger than them? Do you know what I mean?
They're fucking brilliant, eh?
Because we usually sit and say, fuck's sake, man, like we had six yellow cards and a red and they had more fouls than us. So choosing the other foot now, eh? This is how it feels.
So tune in next week to the Rangers Ramble to find out a little bit more.
What's wrong with the Celtic Ramble? Fuck's sake, man. You've already tarred everybody with the Rangers brush. No, again, man.
I'll try and change it. I'm away to Dublin next weekend, so I'll.
Are you?
I'll try and recruit a few boys, and we'll swing it the other way.
It's an interesting stat, though, because I mean that's something that we would usually be bringing up and highlighting, like the amount of fouls as per card.
Yeah, certainly we'd be bringing up.
It's an interesting one for sure. And finally, on Twitter, we've got Gav Dick, who has said, "How good has Abita been this season? He's been immense, IMO." Also, we should extend Alf's contract. It's a no-brainer. He's a class act on the pitch. Obviously, as we mentioned earlier, Abita extended his deal earlier on this evening, and we have been big advocates for Adam Lafondre extending his contract a little bit.
See, just on Abita, I think it's probably the most consistent a left-back's been since Stevenson was at his peak. If you think about it, Josh Doig did come in and he was brilliant, but he was young and he was also prone to a little mistake now and again, as young players are. Cabrera came in, never really nailed down the position. Him and Stevenson kind of fluctuated for a while. So it's probably as consistent as we've seen somebody over this length of time for quite a while in that position. From my perspective anyway, I don't know if you guys view it differently.
Yeah, I mean, we find it very, very difficult to get a player who can dislodge Stevenson from the team, so the fact that Obita has played as many minutes as he has this season is testament to how good a professional and how good a player he actually is. And hopefully he just keeps kicking on from here. And also, I've seen him at Straighton the other week.
He's given himself a good platform. Like, the fans have already kind of got behind him and bought into the player that he is. And when that happens, you tend to see them going to have a semi-decent Hibs career and one that's got a bit of longevity about 100%. It.
It's a very it's a very inoffensive position, Sean, the left-back role. But if you do it well, then you're remembered fondly.
Yeah, you just in positions that aren't central, if you can be consistent, consistently decent, not consistently shite like some of the players that have had over the years, then, yeah, you're onto a winner. Especially at a club like Hibs as well. Jordan speaks in his interview about the contract, about what he wants to achieve at Hibs, and you know, he gives a standard, obviously, perform at a good level, get in Europe and maybe get to a cup. So, listen, obviously, Hibs want to achieve as much as possible. He'll want to achieve as much as possible. And he's had a taste of Europe and enjoyed it. So, listen, if we've got someone of that level, albeit he's 31, had a few mistakes in him, as we spoke about in the last episode, but if he can get rid of those mistakes and give us, you know, more of his consistent performances like he's done throughout the season, then we're on to a winner. It's then just a case of 2 or 3 years down the line, when his contract comes to an end, that we're in the same position that we are now. So hopefully we don't find it as difficult to replace Jordan as we have Lewis.
Yeah.
I think it's actually really important that you say that, though, because that has been our problem for the certain areas of the pitch. Centre-back, obviously, was a big one, and previously left-back. So I think now having contingency in place and the time to kind of identify targets well in advance leaves us in a much better place. We see now we've got Brian McDermott working hard behind the scenes. So hopefully what you're saying, Sean, is actually what happens. You know, you think last year his contract, say it comes to 34. Boom, right, we've got this guy lined up. Let's get him in, signed up early. It can be a crossover, say 6 months, and then that consistency carries on.
It's the dream, I suppose, especially when you're at a club the size of Hibs. We've not got unlimited money. Well, I mean, kind of now, but...
we do know.
You know, it's always going to be a struggle to attract these sort of players who are going to come in and make an instant impact. So the fact that we've been able to do it with Jordan this season has been fantastic. And of course, Alfie as well, as Gav has alluded to in his message. But that'll wrap us up for this week, I suppose. We'll just leave you with another review of the signed shirt that you could win. Kindly donated. Actually, I didn't mention this earlier on. Kindly donated by Chris Cadden. And we've also had one donated by Block 7 that Longbangers are going to raffle/football card off at some point through the week as well. So if you don't win this one, have a wee look at their feed and see if you can win that one if you're interested in it. But listen, again, for the ticket drive, we've kind of been, all of us, all the podcasts have been blown away by the support and the generosity of the Hibs family. So we can't say anything but a massive, massive thank you to everyone who's donated and everyone who's even just shared and liked the tweets and the Facebook posts and all that stuff. So again, yeah, a big, big thank you. But an even bigger thank you goes to you for listening if you got this far. And the biggest thank you goes to Ryan and Sean for joining me for the last hour. I hope you've enjoyed it. Sean, I hope you're not too upset at your loss and who's that Hybe, but I think you've got to take that off with a smooth, son.
Yeah, I'm upset I didn't get Jamie McLaren from his birthday, being the big fan that I am.
Well, maybe for next week you should be revising birthdays.
Some would say I wouldn't need to. If I was a big enough fan, I would have got it right the first time around.
Yeah.
But listen, I'll let Ryan have this one. You know, the rules have changed and out of my favour for this week, so we move on.
Well,
pleasure as always.
Anyone on this podcast I would like to lose to, it would be Ryan.
It's certainly not me anyway.
Sean, man, certainly not me. Much love, brother. Much love.
But anyway, again, thanks for listening, and we will catch you. We'll catch you at some point after the Rangers game. Enjoy your international break. Bye.
See you later.
Let's get ready to rumble.